I want you, if you would, to picture this morning. I have a problem. And you can probably well be thinking, that's not hard to picture for you, Pastor. And I'd say, yeah, that's true. But my problem is with a closet. It's a closet that has bifold doors. We could have Josh explain that bifold door. Most of it, we know what bifold doors are, right? No. You don't know? Okay. So, Josh, explain to us quickly what a bifold door is.
Bifold door has little almost pivot pins at the top and the bottom. And then in the middle, there's hinges, and they put two slabs together. And when you pull on one side, those hinges in the middle bend, which allows the center of the two doors where they connect to come out, and those pivot pins run on a track on the top. The bottom one kind of sits there loose, so there's nothing keeping it in position. It's kind of just hanging from the top.
All right. So that's a very technical construction explanation. So these are the doors that you go up to and you pull on the knobs that are in the middle of the door. And when you do, the doors open in half. And you'd go like this and you push them. And then you pull them shut and go like this. Now you get this picture. These are bifold. Now, sometimes, frequently, bifold doors have two doors side by side and you get to open it. Sometimes it's just one. And in my closet, it's a smaller closet just off my bedroom. It's for clothes. It's a clothes closet. It's just one bifold door. And I just open it like this and choop, and it folds in half and just like that. And I've got a problem with this closet. It has a singular bifold door. And the problem is this, that when I open this bifold door and I turn on the light and go about my business, which is a daily thing of selecting clothes and a nightly thing of returning those clothes. And sometimes, inadvertently, when I'm getting them out, I'll be doing other things, and that bifold door, I'll close. And then, lo and behold, I'll come home and open it at night, and the light is still on. And it's been on all day. And you know, when the door's closed, you can't see that the light's on. There is, if you pay attention really, really close, there is a strip of light just under the pivot pins that have the track, and if just under that, that shows that the light's on. But you can't unless you pay really close. Does anybody else have a door or a room like that, where you kind of leave it on? Maybe a pantry, a basement, a closet somewhere. Oh man, now we're finding out. Any other confessions here? You know, up in our upstairs, I actually designed them. We have where we remodeled the third floor because of Michelle being with us, and it's actually the transition floor when my kids are going to college and that kind of thing. They go up there and they transition as they live and work and do all their stuff. Around the outside, we put in these knee wall closets. I won't go through an explanation of that. And we close those things entirely. And we had a bigger problem there because there's no light that ever shows, and often it doesn't get left on for a day. It'll get left on for a month or two. It may be on right now. I don't know. I haven't checked it lately. Now, the problem with this thing is what Jesus said about this. He said, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar. And I did a little study on that, what he meant by cellar, because the word actually means a concealed place, an inward, concealed, private location, like a closet, like knee walls. Nobody lights it and puts it in there, he said. And he went on, or under a basket. But they put it on a lampstand. And the problem is, I do light it and conceal it. I do. And sometimes it goes on for months that it's lit and concealed. And Jesus said, nobody does, but I do. Now, the issue is whether we do it intentionally or not. It's not really, really, really a sharp edge to light a light and to conceal it, because it does no good. He said, rather, people put it on a lampstand like that, so that those who enter the room have light and they can see. So, now, very interestingly, Jesus continues this section, and I'm going to read it for you out of the New International Reader's Version. It's in Luke chapter 11. It covers verses 33 through 36. You've got 33. Listen how he continues in this. He says, your eye is like a lamp for your body. Suppose your eye can't see well. It's bad, most translations say. Then your body is full of darkness. You want to test that? Let's test that. Let's do this. Look around like this. Okay? Now, close your eyes. Look around. Any difference there? Obvious. When the eye's not open, the lamp of the body's not letting light in, it's out. He goes on. Yeah, I got that. So, he says, make sure that the light inside you is not darkness. You know, he's changed it. That's the light outside you coming in. This now is the light inside you not being dark going out. Suppose, he says, your whole body is full of light. And suppose, in other words, your eyes are good and it's all full of light, and no part of it is dark. Then your whole body will be bright, full of light. It will be just as when a lamp shines its light on you. Now, did you get that? One thing that Jesus did here is that he took the physical picture of light and used this illustration, this picture illustration about light within going out, being like light that's on the outside coming in. Did you follow that? That's how he uses this illustration. As a matter of fact, in another place, Matthew, using the same thing where it says, nobody lights a light and puts it out. Matthew finishes it by saying this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see. Let your light, the light that's in you, shine before others that they may see. Let your light, the one that's in you, like the light that's out there shining on you, let that light that's in you shine before others that they may see. Now, one thing about light for us, light is not self-generating. The Bible talks about light all over the place. It talks about it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3. In there, darkness is over the face of the earth, and God says, let there be, and there was light. This light came from God's call. The light wasn't coming from itself, it was coming from him. And then later in creation, he creates the sun and the moon. For us, this light is always reflective. It's like this, the light on the stand reflecting off of us to others. That light is reflective of the light. All the way through the book of Revelation, it talks about this light, dark thing. It talks about in heaven, Revelation 21, Revelation 22, there's no light there. Because God Himself is the light, and from this we all have the light. When this light shines, it is a reflective light that shines. So let your light shine like it shines on you from the outside. Now, from what's in you, this light shining out from you to others, He says that they may see your good works, your beneficial deeds, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. This morning, in the book of Colossians, Paul helps us with this light, dark thing. Jesus points it out very clearly here. That physical light is a picture illustration. This physical light is a picture illustration of light that we have, a reflective light that is to shine out of us. The book of Colossians is a series about pictures. This morning we're going to talk about, in your life, darkness and light, because they're both there. And we're going to talk about getting along with it. Colossians chapter 1, that's where I want you to turn, because this series is called Hidden. It's a series called Hidden, because there are certain things that are hidden, that God has hidden. Do you remember what those things are? Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. The mystery hidden, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The light that's in you, Christ who is your light, shining out from you. This light is hidden, so that when Skip walks into 3M, or Nathan walks into Woodmark, or Laura walks into the Savings Union, or Doc walks into the hospital, or you walk into school, home, the place where you go to play ball, it's not seen. You look just like a regular run-of-the-mill ball player, manager, employee, physician. You look just like that. But there's a light that's to shine out so that others see. It's a hidden light. And we're going to talk about getting along with this hidden light coming out, because there's not only light, but there's darkness. If your eye be dark, how great is that darkness? That's what Jesus said. So this is about hidden, and we're going to talk about it like this. God our Father has for you done this. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 12 and 13. He straight out states it. He just straight out states it. This is what God has done. And so now, with Him, these are your opportunities. These are it. Whew. What a great time for Skip's testimony as we look at this. Colossians chapter 1. Turn there with me. Colossians chapter 1, your life is hidden with Christ who is your life. When He appears, you'll also, it's a hidden thing. Christ is in you, hidden, the hope of glory. This light comes out. Colossians is a series of pictures. Last week we looked at the walk that we have. That's the picture. All of this stuff comes out in a walk. And this morning, we're going to talk about this picture. This picture? Well, this picture. This picture? This picture is framed. This picture is not. Obviously, it's the same picture. The framing on this picture is designed to draw out the color because this picture has kind of a washout color. I think this light is a little too harsh for the picture because that harsh light kind of causes attention to go to that corner, and they have a softer light in this corner. They should turn the softer light on this, and then the picture would even bring out the flesh tones of the color more. What? Yeah. You see, this is a frame, and your life is to have a frame to it. Something is to frame the picture of your life to others. Look with me, verse 12. In your walk, giving thanks to the Father, God our Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance with the saints in light. Do you see what's to frame our life? This giving of thanks. Did you notice what Skip's acrostic was? For what he wanted to do to frame his life at this workplace. You know, I get to work with lots of folks. I do. And I'm grateful for that. One thing I've noticed is that folks have a lot of complaints. As a matter of fact, there are businesses that have the complaint department. In our business, I am the complaint department. It's what? And we have complaints on care, calls, answering service, all kinds of things. And sometimes at church, we have complaints. Now, we need to deal with complaints. And I've found that sometimes just interacting with people in the world, just on a casual lunch basis, they have some. Have you noticed that? And it's very unique when a life is framed with thanksgiving rather than complaints. It stands out. It draws attention to the color, the tone, the life. Mark this. Darkness, light. We have to deal with it in our own lives. Let your life be framed with thanksgiving. There's a little booklet that I have. If you'd like to have it, I've distributed it before. I've talked about it before. I've read it. I've read it repeatedly for myself and for others. It's about expressing thanks, about having a more ready tongue to thank than to complain. It makes you stand out. It's like a light in a dark place. That's the frame. Then he goes on from talking about that frame to tell us what God has done for you. What God has done for you. God has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, regardless of what goes on in your life, regardless of how big of a bummer this event or circumstance is, regardless how big of a bungler you become, like having all thumbs when you have to pack tape, right? Regardless of that, you know, there are some people whose lives are Murphy's Law. Do you know what Murphy's Law is? Yeah. What's Murphy's Law? Yeah, and when will it go wrong? At the worst possible time. And it always has to be for me. If it's going to rain on a weekend, it will be my weekend off. Right? Yeah, 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 yeah. It's the way it is. You know, if there's something that's, for example, if you fiddle with something long enough, you are surely going to break it. Murphy's Law. That's the way it goes for me. Yeah, that would happen for me. That's the way it would be. The line that you're in is always the line that, yep, longest and moves slowest. Right? And some people define their life, think about their life in the category of Murphy's Law. I'm a Murphy's Law person. Can I tell you this? That in this world you'll have trouble, and those troubles are hand-picked. For what purpose? For God's purpose of growing you so that you reflect Christ. Isn't that amazing? Romans 8:28 goes like this. For we know God works all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow ahead of time. He also did predestinate, He set this up, that you, by these things, these troubles, will be conformed to the image of His Son. So the light shines. So regardless of the Murphy's Law stuff, we always have a basis for giving thanks because we're qualified. You know, this word qualified is very, very interesting because the Lord said He has enabled you. He empowered you. He's authorized you. You know, we have a thing going on right now in the presidency. That's called executive orders. They kind of come in with 911, and this thing has gone boom. It kind of, in my estimation, looks like it kind of goes against the separation of powers here. And I'm not political, but, you know, I do have an opportunity to view things. But in executive orders, it's kind of... Now, some of these get challenged in the court. Okay? When God gives an executive order, what happens? What happens? Yeah. If He wills it, He does it. I've said it. I will do it. I will bring it to pass. And when God's executive orders, they are all work together for what? Good. 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 He has authorized by His executive order for you to be qualified, for you to be qualified for an inheritance that you gain everything God is and has and does, and with this, even His nature. I can prove that from the Scriptures. You inherit everything God is and has done. Even you inherit His nature. What God is like in His person. Nobody matches Him. He has qualified you to share in this so that you have a part in this with the other believers, the saints, in, He says, light. Do you know what the light is? But God has taken so much time to develop from Book of Genesis all the way through the Book of Revelation this idea of light and dark and the contrast that comes in. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and something was on the surface of it. What? And darkness covered the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." First act, day one. Literally, first act, day one. He brings in light to deal with darkness. Here. This truth of God's Word bringing light. The presence of God there, changing the chaos and the darkness to order and vision. God, day one, literally, does that. And all the way through eternity in heaven, Revelation 21, 22, He deals with darkness and light. Jesus spoke about this. You have a share with the other believers, the saints, in the truth, the benefits, the community. The community, the partnership, the camaraderie. Have you ever worked with somebody and it's just, you guys just hit this off and it was just like, partners, we can do this. That community, God says, we have with Him as we walk in the benefits of His truth, His care, His kindness, His joy towards us. We have this. We share in it not just for time, but for all eternity. In time it grows. Do you know, right now, in this time, right now, this is as close, today is as close as you will ever be to hell. Things that are out of line with God, in your own life, in the world around us. But do you know today, right now, this moment is the very closest that an unbeliever will ever be to heaven. Because the goodness of God that He's showing in common kindness to people. We share full-blown in the benefits. You know, this is a basis for framing your whole life in thanksgiving. Amen? Amen? Let me add this one, too. He says this, He's delivered you from the domain of darkness. He's delivered you. This means that He has drawn you to yourself. This is kind of like fishing. I'm not a fisherman, okay? But I've seen some people fish. One of my best friends fishes a lot. My kids fish. As a matter of fact, over Memorial Day weekend, my best friend was fishing at my kids' pond, okay? And they caught several bass, and he showed me the pictures of it, even with the tails flapping on the bass. He got the pictures down. You know, with this, there you throw that thing out, and you hook it, because he talked to me in the language. I sunk the hook, and it went through all this stuff, and I thought, wow, there is really a science to this that I don't know and don't want to learn. One of the neat things, though, they say this thing, you draw it to yourself, and a fish fights. And wind blowing, the sea coming, the boats up and down. And oh, maybe not quite far. But anyway, you're pulling this. You know, you can even get a game that has a rod that you can program fighting a fish on it, drawing that thing, and this rod shakes. That's as close as I'll ever get to it. Pulling this in. That's what the word delivered is here. The picture is the Lord is drawing us to Himself, drawing us and he draws us from this darkness. You know, the opposite of light, the benefit, the blessing, the opposite of that is the chaos, the lack of vision, the doom, the gloom, the missing joy, the frustration, gnashing your teeth in the darkness. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. I have access to a domain on the computer. I could only get it after I became an official employee of IU, the health. And I can get on, and I go into the IU health domain. And it's amazing what's in there. It's amazing. Medical information, information. I'm not even going to go over, I can't even go over all the information that is in that domain. Our church has a domain. We call it our website. Get on there and you can see and hear Doc's message and Colossians when he launched this thing. And you can see pictures. Matter of fact, you bring it up and there's Doc standing there and there's me standing here. And it's all on our domain. It's right there. Now, there's a domain that is like that of darkness, where chaos and frustration and lack of vision and disorder and gloom and rebellion and disobedience. It's the domain of darkness. It's the domain of Satan. It's the domain, and he transferred us from that. He delivered us out from it, drawing us to himself, and he transferred us. I'm going to give you this passage. I'd love to take time to do this. Look at this, because this domain says that it wasn't only something we were in, but it was something we were. It was in us. This darkness was in us, and it was coming out of us. Frustration and confusion and lack of vision and lack of hope and all of that comes out of us. He says in that you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Oh, that is a great passage. I don't have time for it. Look it up. Don't have time for it. Can I bait you? Look this up. And the Lord will draw you to himself. Going on. He transferred us. He pulled us out from that domain of darkness and into his dear son's kingdom, where his son is in charge, not Satan. Where the care of a good shepherd leads you all the days beside still waters, restoring soul, goodness and mercy following you all the days of our life, dwelling in the house. That's what he's delivered us from darkness to. This kingdom. Boy, you know, it's so good to complain, though, because I got cold French fries from McDonald's, and I paid good money for them. What a cheap ripoff. You know how much I paid for those dollar French fries? And it's going to ruin my whole day. And when I get to work, I had cold fries for lunch. Think about it. What is framing your life? Darkness? Light? Wow. This is what he's done for you. Straight up, that's scripture. That's as much scripture as I can get in here out of this. Now, let me add this. You have opportunities. You now have opportunity. And straight up, after telling us what God has done about you having to handle darkness and light, this is what God has done. Now, this is opportunities. Let's read them. Starting verse 13. He has, this is what he's done, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us, pulled us out into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is what we have. You have the kingdom of the Son of God's love. You have it. It belongs to you for your identity. Some of us struggle with backgrounds, family, born in, treatment. I wasn't even loved, some people convey. I wasn't even a planned child. I was a mistake. You belong. You have an identity as being in on the kingdom of the Son of God's love. It's your identity. More than your identity of belonging to Hartford City, you're a kingdom kid of the Son of God's love. And you're to live in this kingdom as being your home and your hometown. You have that opportunity. This kingdom thing that he talks about. A kingdom is where a group of people all have the same king. Profound, Pastor. It's a group of people who all have the same king. We live under his care, his shepherding, his authority, his calling us. And that is more our identity than living in Blackford or Grant or Delaware County. You know, this past week, somebody said to me, you know, if I'd win the lottery, I'd give a tenth of it to the church. Oh, and I was supposed to say, oh, good, I'll pray for you to win the lottery. They weren't a part of our church, okay? Somebody I know, they knew I went to church. I knew they went to church. They told me. And they said, you know, what do you think my pastor would say to that? You know what I say to that? That's pittance. Compared to what I already have, that's pittance. Because I have the kingdom of God as my inheritance now and forever. If there's anything we need, a building, guess who's king? Guess where we go? Shall we go there? Let's go there. To this king. This is my identity. This is where I live. To live the win the lottery is pittance compared to what we already have. It's like lower. And you have redemption, he says. The price that is paid to loose you, it's done. It's done. There's nothing more that you do. There's nothing you can add to this. There's nothing more that pleases God right now than you to putting trust in Christ who paid the price of your redemption through His blood. It's done. It's done. It's done. We are loosened from sin through the price of the redemption. And you have this, the forgiveness of your sins, which means that you have been released from anything that is a violation of God. We have this, and all of this is opportunity. It's opportunity for us to experience it within. We need to go back over these things and to experience them within. I want you to know that I have goals and aims, and I kind of get myself wrapped up in this, and then I get to evaluating my performance, and most frequently, I'm saying, you really failed on this. Let me give you an example of this. I have certain goals and aims on physical activity, and I came home on Friday night. Alita was down visiting her mother, which was her 80th birthday. I couldn't go. She went. She took the girls down with her, and I came home, and I was there by myself, and there was Ellie's birthday cake sitting there, who just turned 17, and I had a birthday cake piece with ice cream on top. I sat there and had this, and oh man, you know how much sugar that is, and what that. And I went over and I thought, I have not sinned. But I had to go through that whole thing in my mind. You say, you're weird. You got problems. Amen. Amen. But I got a kingdom, and I've got redemption, and I've got forgiveness in this. And I'm released from all of this. I actually sat down there with this tremendous sense of guilt. You should have seen how it was triple chocolate cake. Yeah. You know, Hershey chocolate little things on the top. Ice cream to boot on that. Sugar City. How is that? I've got release in this. The forgiveness of this and the other deeper darkness. That's in. We've got it. And it's opportunity to me to experience this. I want you to know I have to tell the gospel to myself daily because of how much I am incompetent with it. But when I review the gospel, it lifts all the burden of this poor performance from me so that with joy I can offer a kingdom. Experiencing it within. We have this door of opportunity and to express it without. Forgiveness to others to be expressed without. Wow! I know people who haven't talked in the same family to each other for years because what so-and-so did, and I will never forgive you. You seen that? Have you seen it? Have you seen what it does to people? But we have a door of opportunity to show a light that expresses that I promise not to dwell on. Talk with me about forgiveness. It's a promise not to dwell on, to tell of, or smell up. this relationship down the road. I promise. Now listen to me. You can choose to carry unforgiveness or all those other things, your poor performance. You can choose to carry it in you and stay in the chaos and stay in the darkness. Or you can take the door of opportunity and let the light that's in you shine. Jesus said, be careful. Let the light that's in you don't be darkness. But to let your light so shine that they may see. Can I tell you this? We're all fallen. We've all got darkness. If you really knew the secrets of my heart, you'd go, that's okay, I'd do it to you too. I would. I would. Because it's all darkness. But handling it like this surfaces light that gives hope. Jesus said, let the light shine before them that they can see and glorify your Father. It's in heaven. You know, this whole thing is as clear as night and day, isn't it? I mean, what's night? It's darkness. What's day? It's light. Have you ever met somebody who's got their days and nights mixed up? Have you? Wow. I met kids, babies, that had that. This is as clear as night. And he said, Thessalonians 5, you are not of the night, nor of the darkness. You are of the day. So, let it shine. Your light. Let it shine.